Today then we want to talk about love. We talked about
ninth.
Oh, I'm sorry, this is the ninth lecture. The edit, the director pointed that out to me. Today we want to talk about who is love. How does he become? Or how do we test the truth of his love? What did we say before? What do we mean by love? Quickly. But you people remind me more and more of my econ students.
In English, huh?
Yes. Proficiency, yeah. Okay, what do we mean, Annie? We gave some more details about it in the past. If, for example, someone is narrating hadith from a book, from his book, we say he's loved if... Okay, let's put it another way. Suppose he's narrating hadith from his memory. We say he's loved if... If he's narrating hadith from his memory, we say he's loved if he remembers correctly. Well, if he's narrating hadith from a book, we say he's loved if he keeps his book correct. He writes the thing down properly and he's able to read it back correctly. How do we test if a narrator is loved or not? What were some of the means by which the scholars used to check to see?
To check his hadith with other hadith by other ulama.
Okay. Number one, check his hadith. With others, hadith, mahluk.
Did you cover this last time?
No.
No.
I don't know. You were here last time.
I didn't find it in my notebook.
Oh no, we didn't. No. We're moving on.
Yeah,
we're talking now about God. Who is God? Last time we talked about him is the... Who is Ad? So yeah. For example, there's a hadith. One way before we talk about this, compare this hadith with other, let's make it more specific, other students of the same shaykh. Compared his hadith with other students of the same sheikh. In other words, keep the noise down, please. For example, I think I gave the example earlier of Yahya ibn Ma'in, who read the books of Hamad ibn Salama to 17 of Hamad's students. Okay. His purpose was to differentiate the mistakes of Hamad. How would he know the mistakes of Hamad?
From his students? From Hamad's students?
And if he's going to read the books of the hadith of Hamad to 17 of Hamad's students, his goal was to know Hamad's mistakes and to know the mistakes of the students. How is he going to know them?
The mistakes of the students is easy, but the sheikh.
Okay, how to know the mistakes of the students?
Compare the students to do that.
Okay, compare how everyone narrated the same hadith from the same city. And supposedly they got this hadith from the same day. And someone narrates it differently than the other 16. Obviously, I need to show that he's a mistake. What about the mistakes of Hamad?
Compare the response.
Yeah. If all 17 of them narrate the hadith in the same way, and that way is wrong, compared to how the other ulama narrated, then he knows that mistake is from Hamad. Imam Muslim was discussing a hadith in the introduction to his Sahih. This is a hadith about when Ibn Abbas came to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ was praying, and Ibn Abbas originally stood on one side of him, and then the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the other side. So which side did he stand originally? Originally he stood on the left. Prophet moved him to the right. One of the, this is a hadith, was narrated by Yazid, narrated by the name of Yazid from Quraib. Well, the way Yazid narrated it, he said that Ibn Abbas stood first on the right and the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the left. So what Imam Muslim did is he studied how all the students of Quraib narrated this hadith. And all of them said that Ibn Abbas stood first on the left and the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the right. So therefore he was able to see that the mistake was from Yazid in that narration.
Yazid
ibn Umar? His name is Yazid ibn Abu Zinad.
Abu Zinad.
Well, in English, Abu.
Because it's famous in Ibn Abi Zinad. Right?
Yes. I put everything as Abu, not to confuse anyone.
Ruin the grammar.
Okay, what's another way to check the validity of a narrative? Okay, or check his hadith with other scholars. He gave an example of that, Muhammad bin Salama. When we talked about the beginning of the Jahw al-Ta'til, and when did it begin during the time of the Sahaba, we said there's two types of checking also that was done. One we call the time series.
One is cross-checking.
These two are cross-checking. First two are cross-checking. What did we mean by time series? The economist, Muhammad Abu Kareem.
Let's check the time sequence of the narrator.
Check the time sequence? What do you mean?
The time sequence.
Did you miss that lecture?
Yeah.
And you check the person's narration of the same hadith over time. Does he always narrate the same way or is he narrating in different ways? Thereby making some mistakes sometimes. If you have something you'd like to share with the rest of the class, I guess what we say.
I will test in his memory.
So what's another way? Time series. I gave the example earlier, two lectures ago, about Aisha when she had Arwa, her cousin, asked Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As about the same hadith over a year's time. So you check the person over time, is he still narrating it the same way, or every time he narrates he's making some changes? Or nothing. Then what else? Okay. Comparison between oral and written narration. One time when al-Bukhari was 11 years old, the sheikh in the mosque, I forget who sheikh is, one of the sheikh al-hadith, he was narrating some hadith, while al-Bukhari said, excuse me, that's wrong what you said. He said he gave the isnad incorrect. He was 11 years old. So the sheikh was a little bit surprised. He said, what's wrong with you, boy? In English, translating to modern day English. So al-Bukhari told him, if you have the book with you, you can check to see the way it's narrated. So he went inside his house from the mosque, and he found his book and he found that it was, his memory was mistaken. And it was the way that al-Bukhari said it was. So that's one way, comparison between oral and recorded narration. And there's an example of that from a scholar by the name of Abdurrahman ibn Umar. who narrated a hadith from Abu Huraira concerning the Dhuhr prayer, that during the summer it should be prayed early in this time. Abu Zura corrected him and said, this is from Abu Sa'id and not from Abu Huraira. Abdurrahman ibn Umar, and he took it very seriously, and when he went back home, and he was from a different town, when he returned to his town, he checked his books, and he found that Abu Zura was correct, it was from Abu Sa'id and not from Abu Huraira. So he wrote to Abu Zura and he said, please tell everyone that I narrated that hadith too, that it is from Abu Sa'id and not from Abu Huraira. And he said, to be embarrassed in this dunya is better than to be punished in the hereafter. Don't forget to get the registration, late registration fee. Very late registration fee. Okay. Another way also is comparison between what someone narrates, and between the hadith that someone narrates, and the Qur'an. Or, not just Qur'an, but also stronger hadith. You compare what the person is narrating with what the Qur'an says, and what the stronger authorities or stronger hadith say. And perhaps Aisha, some of this, sometimes this is in fact a matter of ijtihad, actually. Aisha was well known for correcting the misunderstanding of many of the Sahaba. Like when she heard Ibn Umar talk about the one who was in the grave. He said that the person in the grave is being punished because his family is crying over him. He saw a Jewish person being buried. He said that person is being punished because they're crying upon him. Well, Aisha, when she heard that, she said, may Allah have mercy on Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Umar. The Prophet said that they are crying over him while he's being punished in the grave. It wasn't the way Aisha understood it. They said something that is a matter of ijtihad. Aisha understood it not as bad, that they're being punished because of their crime, while Ibn Umar understood it. There's a book by a scholar by the name of Al-Zarqashi, in which he that's what looks funny. There's a space actually in the front. If anyone would like to change it. Zarqashi wrote the book compiling those incidents where Aisha corrected the other Sahaba.
Zarqashi?
No.
No, Zarqashi.
Zarqashi.
That's the king's name.
Anyway. I will not go into that.
What's the name of the book?
What's the name of the book?
Al-Arabi?
It is Al-Ijaba li-Irad ma استدركته عائشة على الصحابة. So this is some of the ways that they used to check to make sure that the narrator is public. If they find him making lots of mistakes by these means, then if someone makes some mistakes, does that mean we reject him completely? Yeah, and if it was like that, none of you would have finished your bachelor's degree. So what you do, is you kind of grade scores of hadith. You have that top level, which are like the A-plus students, like Imam Malik, Zuhri, people who are specialized in hadith. And then you find some people who made more, a little bit more mistakes, but not gross errors, small mistakes. Gross errors is something else. A gross error is something, and you cannot imagine someone who has aqal, who has narrated hadith in that way. That is what they call the oham. Big errors. That's something else. We're not talking about that. We're talking about small errors. Okay. Besides checking that also, they would make sure that they would not accept narrators, for example, who were known to sleep during class. So all of you are. They will not even accept shuyukh who would allow the students to sleep during class. Like myself. Huh? He should remove that person from the class. Because that person is getting some information, halfway correct, halfway incorrect. He's going to say that that sheikh said it. And so for his own safety, he should remove that person. All of us, let's go. Also, they will not accept hadith, and this is all part of Babat. If someone is, if he's good in his narrating from his books, yani when he's not narrating from books, he's not considered Babat. He's not, does not have a strong memory. They would also reject narrators who would accept or not spot the practice of talqeen. What's the meaning of talqeen?
If someone does not what?
Yani if someone, let's first define the talqeen and then we'll go. What is talqeen?
Telling somebody to say something.
Okay, what it means in the case of hadith is that if I go to Naif and I tell Naif, these are your hadith, right? And they're not his hadith, but he accepts them and he says, yes, these are my hadith. Okay, this is talqeen. That he accepts the hadith without checking his books or without being able to know whether those are his hadith or not. So they used to test some people by saying, you narrated from Aisha such and such. And they know that he did not. It's not from his hadith. So, and if they accept this, and they say, yeah, this, yeah, I said that. He's out.
So he's no longer considered to be
talking. He's not considered God. They would also not accept narrators who were not, or shuyukh who were not careful about checking the copies. For example, in ijaza or in narrations, when people make copies of books, if the sheikh doesn't check it to make sure it's correct, this casts some doubt on the sheikh himself. And if, for example, I give you a hadith book, my hadith, and you just copy it, and I let you go without checking to make sure you copy it, I mean, this is the kind of narrator also they do not care too much for.
And this takes lots of time from the sheikh.
We're talking about our deen here.
No, don't any shuyukh used to do something like asking another student to check this?
Well, the important thing, Annie, is that the copy is checked with the test. Maybe it's not important that he did it himself, I don't know. But the copy has to be checked with the test. Well, it's best to have someone who knows, even who has memorized the book, to check it.
This was how important was hadith.
Hey.
That to check everything.
No, they did not take it lightly. So now we have defined who is Adil and who is Babat. Any question about Babat?
Can you just summarize what you said about who is not considered Babat, who is given the class, who is just by Taqeen and he fell on this test?
For someone who doesn't check any copies with the Adil, the original copy.
And the number 6, and all of these is number 6.
Well, this is checking someone's Babat, how to check it.
No, the three things we just...
You mentioned for not being Babat.
What?
You mentioned for not for this.
Four things that will make him not Babat. Four?
I mean, four.
Three.
Number one, yeah, someone who sleeps or doesn't pay attention in class or plays with his children also. This is included.
the period sometimes.
Yeah, during, yeah, during.
This are the sometimes. Yeah, the food.
If it's outside the class, but if he allows himself to be drowsy in the class, this is not a problem.
He shouldn't come to class.
So there is a friend of mine who is not bad at all.
The third one is
failing to check copies with us.
So three on.
Failing. Are you talking about Sheikh in that case or the student?
Both. Yeah, and if you receive a book from Ilyas and he says those are my hadith, you should come to my copy and check with the rest.
Why Sheikh? I mean, you said he didn't.
If he's not careful about his hadith, also this means he's not both. They call him Yani not both. Both implies Yani not just passion, but making sure. Even your own hadith are fast and proper. Okay, any questions about that? Okay, so now we've discussed in detail adl and mawad.
My compatibility issue. Between the Sheikh and the student.
Now, we've discussed in detail adl and mawad. In general, if someone is both adl or dhabit, they call him or trustworthy. But obviously, not everyone is at the same level. We cannot say that everyone who is adl and has some dhabity is at the same level, right? But the important thing for what we're talking about now is everyone has to be adl. But there's different degrees of dhabity. For narrators to be accepted, everyone has to be adl. Why?
A couple of salam.
Just bring it there. And what I was saying is that the important thing, Yani, for what we're talking about so far is that the person has to be adl. But we have different degrees of love. If he's not adl, no matter how good he is in memory and writing, his hadith are rejected. If he's not adl, no matter how good he is in writing, he has a PhD in economics, doesn't matter. Yeah, and his hadith will be rejected and he comes down here. That's not right, but anyway. Didn't have to write it like that. If someone is not adl, no matter how excellent he is at writing and memorizing or whatever, his hadith will be rejected. Okay? But among those people who are adl, we have a large range.
What happens if he brings tea?
If he brings tea and keeps the busy people busy with tea, this is so this is Ibn Hajar's. Yani when you read what the scholars said about certain narrators, they use specific terms. Okay. Those terms do not all mean the same thing. Yani some terms are much stronger than other terms. So what we have here are the different categories of narrators according to Ibn Hajar. The ranks and terms for idle narrators according to Ibn Hajar. He has six categories. Earlier scholars had less. Ibn al-Salah, for example, had four, and now we added one and make five, and Ibn Hajar had six. Okay? Looking at the first category, we're talking about the top level, the A plus students. Okay? And they use the superlative adjective in describing those people. The most trustworthy of the people. You don't ask about that person. There's no one similar to him, or I don't know anyone similar to him.
Mm-hmm.
I said there's a wellness.
I was sleeping
while pecking.
Two of them. Second line also.
Oh, on the second line also there's a wellness. Yes. Also.
يوثق الخلق
أوثق
النفس
also يوثق should be أوثق in the second line. InshaAllah, there's no other mistakes.
There's one in the last line.
One last line?
Yeah. لا يعتبر به. In the last page. Second page.
InshaAllah, نقرا على شرح صفحة الأولى.
باعتبر.
We'll get to that. I was after Jummah, I was very tired. So those first category, these are the people whose hadith or they're experts in hadith. There are very few people similar to them, people like Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Za'i, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Imam Malik, these kinds of people. Okay. Second category, again they use superlatives, they have a tendency to use more than one superlative. Sometimes they use six or seven, but usually you'll see two. Okay. Like the second one, Sabta Hujjah. Sufyan ibn Uyayn.
So you went and two Sufyans.
Yeah. Thawri was ibn Uyayn.
You mentioned Uyayn.
Yeah, Uzay is not Sufyan. Did I say Sufyan?
Yeah.
No, Uzay is not
Sufyan.
It has a long name,
but
not
Sufyan. What about
the Shafi'i would be like the first or second category.
Because Yahya ibn Ma'in
I said he's not Thaqqa.
He's not
Thaqqa. Yeah. Be careful. But I said some people said he was talking about Imam Shafi'i's uncle.
Wow.
So the third category. And the first two categories we're talking still at the top level of love. Okay. Even the third category still, we're at the high level of love. We haven't lost that much in Dawud, but they are not as experts as the first one.
كأنه مصحف.
Yeah. These are the terms you will read. If you read a book called تهذيب التهذيب by Ibn Hajar, these are the terms that you'll find inside, quoting the early scholars. You should know what they mean and approximately what they're talking about. Okay. So the first three categories, we're talking about people whose hadith are sahih. They do not need any supporting evidence. By themselves, their hadith are sahih. The first big category. Quit looking for mistakes.
Can you give me that names for
the
second and third category?
The second or third category?
Second is Imam Shafi'i.
Huh?
Second is Shafi'i.
Imam Shafi'i could be in the second or first category. Imam Ahmed in the first category.
Yeah.
The second category would include people like Abdullah ibn Yusuf, the Sheikh of al-Bukhari.
Second
category.
Yusuf.
Sheikh al-Bukhari. Nafi', the Mawla of Ibn Umar.
What's Bukhari?
Bukhari is from the first category without any question.
At 11 years old, he was the first woman.
Now when we come to the fourth category, look what's happening now. We're starting to lose a little bit in volume. And in general, the narrators in al-Bukhari would be from the first two categories, the first three categories. Now, as I said, all these narrators there, they're either the same. We're not. When we move down, we're not talking about changes in the level of adl. They're all the same with respect to their adl. Someone who's known to be adl but makes many mistakes is preferred to someone who's known to be a liar but never makes mistakes.
He doesn't make mistakes when he lies. And as you see in the terms that they use, they use terms which are not like the earlier terms. Like he's honest, and there's no problem with him, nothing wrong with him, Mahmoud. And he's not very strongly appreciative terms. These kinds of narrators in the fourth category, for example, in Abu Dawud, they meet Abu Dawud's standards, and probably in the Sahih also. And their hadith in this fourth category will be hasan.
But Abu Dawud and Nasai are from higher level.
I mean, this is the bottom of there. Oh, Abu Dawud and Nasai, sure.
Yeah. Not so confused.
This fourth category, yeah?
The fourth category, yeah. The people's hadith are hasan. And you will find narrators like that in the collection, for example, of Abu Dawud and Nasai.
What about the third
category? The hadith are sahih.
As
I said, for Ibn al-Sarah and Ibn Abi Hatim, the first three categories are all just one category. And now we added another category, and then Ibn Hajar added another one to make these six.
Is there an answer for the third
category? For the third category? Mm-hmm. Okay. Off the top of my head, let me just get some answer. I'll think of some later.
Okay.
Khiyar, sometimes they just say khiyar, sometimes they say khiyar. So the next category, notice, is hamasa. No, it's mustalah hadith. Again, the level of bobbits is falling to more. Okay? What does this term mean here?
إذا استقيم هو.
لا.
ما أقرب حديثه؟
ما أقرب حديثه. What does that mean? What does it mean by that?
Sorry, ما أقرب حديثه.
حديثه.
نفسه. أشدته.
حديثه. His hadith, for the most part, his hadith are similar to better hadith.
Except for two.
Not a few.
One mistake.
No, he makes mistakes.
Play.
Notice, all of these terms give the impression that he's okay with respect to his adl, but not with respect to his dhabt. This person's hadith, the people in this category, we record his hadith, but they are not accepted by themselves. Okay. Fifth category.
Hasan al-Ayyus.
Do they have a copy? The fifth category, their hadith are not accepted by themselves.
They are recorded.
But you might find their hadith in them. And you record their hadith, and you look for corroborating evidence. You look for other people who support them. Since we don't have any question about their hadith, we know that they're not fabricating hadith, but they're making mistakes. So we record their hadith. If we find other people supporting them, narrating it the same way, then we accept their hadith. But by themselves, we do not accept their hadith.
So we say hasan al-Ayyus?
And in other words, their hadith can be hasan al-Ayyus. Hadith are weak by themselves, and can be
happening.
Yeah? I did not say Tirmidhi is one of those narrators. I'm saying that you'll find narrators from this category in a Tirmidhi book.
Oh.
Okay. The next category...
Just one question.
Here you are.
Is there in the fifth line Saduq and Yahum, or is it?
Yahim.
Yeah,
this means
Yahum.
Yahim. He's honest,
but he makes gross errors. I said, remember, gross errors are different from those errors, the small errors. He makes gross errors.
تدوق بغير آخره إلا الصرف بغير
not بغير it should be no
تدوق بغير
بغير I don't know it means okay I'll tell you what it means you can write whatever you want
yes
it means he is honest but near the end of his life he begins to change and go down
غير بآخره
غير
بآخره
غير بآخره بآخره for sure is correct Notice that difference. Notice that Hasan Hadith, you will find him in the fifth category. And in other words, his Hadith are good, but they're not good enough.
So you have to be familiar with these terms, otherwise when you read them, you'll come to the wrong conclusion.
No.
So what's the right thing about
Sadhu? He is honest, but during the end of the life, he started to lose his mental capability. I'm saying that if you say about Ahmed bin Affa, okay, Ahmed bin Affa is born in 1904, he got his PhD in 1990. So, this is what they write, he studied with his shaykh were Frank Opol and Dickman, by then his students were his sons, Muhammad and Ammar, and his daughter, Darim. By then you write Hasan Hadith. Okay? Hasan Hadith in this case is a description of the person. Does not mean that his Hadith are Hasan. Hasan Hadith means his Hadith are good but not real good. Excuse me. Can I call
him? Yeah, when we say Hadith, we say Hasan or Sahih, like in the fourth category. Do we say Hadith or whom?
No. You would use these terms. For the people in the fourth category, you'd use these terms. Saduq, Labats, I'm saying that their hadith
are Hasan.
Or Sahih.
Which one is better? That
doesn't matter. By themselves, it's Hasan. If other people support them, it's
You say that Hadith
are Hasan Jalayri.
For the fifth
category. The sixth category is again a little bit less.
Saduqun
inshaAllah. It shows that they have some question about it. I hope there's nothing wrong with them. Okay? These people also, you record their Hadith. They cannot be used, for example, as supporting evidence for the people from the fifth category. They will not be used as supporting evidence. But if you find many people of that category, many, narrating the same thing, and you might raise a hadith to Hasan al-Ayni, if you find lots of support.
From them.
Otherwise, their hadith are entirely without question.
Like whom?
I'll bring you some examples later. Before we discuss some actual hadith.
Yuktab. Write his hadith. Record his hadith.
Yuktab.
His hadith is to be recorded.
Yuktab. 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 Y
يعتبر
بي. يعني يعتبر بي. Should be يعتبر. And there's another one. It should be
سويدا.
سويدا is correct. The which one in the yeah in the fourth category it should be لبأ فيه. Not لبأ. Inshallah, Abu Saud is in charge of correcting these for me and putting all the valid points for me. You can do that now.
It's okay, ليس
بي بأس. No, no, the first one says لا بأس له, it should be لا بأس به.
حديث حسن.
What
would
be صحيح? حديث صحيح? No, حديث. But we will discuss it later. We haven't done that part.
اتفطر عليه. Must be from the first three and
yeah, in general, يعني the hadith which you're متفق عليه or you're finding in Bukhari and Muslim in general, they are narrated from people of the first three categories.
And another question, we still adopt this classification of Abant Imam Ali?
Oh sure.
I mean the name. And yes. You have the name, so you cannot change it to raise it from the fourth to the third. If we learn now that the person was not bad as we
say. Yeah, so you call him something else. Al-Albani, he discusses some people, he discusses what everyone says about them, and then he comes to his own conclusion, and he uses the same term. Thaqa, Sunduq.
But you can go up or down.
Thaqa.
Strong evidence.
Yeah, everything is based on strong evidence. So I have any questions about that? As I said, when you read almost any book on hadith, or any book related to hadith, any collection of hadith, most likely you're going to come across these terms when they talk about any narrator. And other books also, books of tafsir, books of fiqh, they'll mention a narrator and then they'll use these terms. So you should realize that they are different levels and what they mean.
I guess in terms of istidlal,
يعني إذا تقول صدوق إن شاء الله ذا means it's حديث. If he's the only one who narrated it, it's حديث صحيح. Rejected. Also, you should realize that there's some scholars had their own specific terminology. We don't have time, of course, to go into everyone's terminology. But sometimes they would say some things one time and say the opposite another time, and there was no contradiction between them. For example, sometimes if someone says about the narrator that he is tiqa, it does not necessarily mean that his hadith are acceptable or that he's hujjah. Okay. Or they might say la ba's bihi. Or laysa bihi ba's, I guess. And this doesn't necessarily mean also that his hadith are rejected or sometimes you have to think, you have to look at the way the question was asked. Okay, you have to look into more detail and see how the question was asked. Because what they used to say, for example, if I ask you, Abdul Karim is the sheikh, our sheikh in Jahwa Ta'dil. If I ask him, what do you think about Naif and Banafa? And he says that Banafa is tiqa. What he means by that is relative to Naif, Banafa is tiqa. Okay? So you have to look closely to see how the question was asked and how, in what context he says that. Yeah, of course, he has to base it on information that people from that person's time recorded about him and after his time.
No, he would have had to do it. That was it. I mean, those were all still alive now.
What about?
Can you classify them and say this is from the...
Yeah, you could. You could. But now things are a little bit different because the way things are recorded And it's very easy nowadays to be bothered because you have everything recorded and with you, and you can check it and make corrections. And all the books are published or in maktub form, and they're all almost, and many of them are mutawatir. So things are a little bit different now with respect to blood. But of course, you still have to check and make sure the guy is on.
Did you say the
requirement? If he's missing in either one, and here I mean with respect to proficiency, and he is greatly missing. Okay, with respect to proficiency, and he has to be very weak, yani for us to accept, not very weak, but he has to be weak for us to reject this hadith completely. Okay, because remember we said with respect to Bawlid, we had upper level and then we came down there. This is like that sixth category that I talked about. The hadith are pretty much between accepted and rejected. Okay. If someone has even less Bawlid, anyone down here, this hadith is rejected. In other words, these other people make lots of mistakes, we cannot trust what they're saying. Okay. But if anyone has any blemish over here, any defect with respect to Adam, his hadith are rejected.
Okay.
So if someone is known to be, for example, very honest or Adam, and he has a very weak memory, he will still be preferable to someone who is known to have a good memory, but he is not honest. Because in the first case, we are sure that he is not fabricating or making up things. On the second case, we are not sure about that. So, Sha'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, he was asked about what kind of people, we'll give a general description of what kind of people we don't accept hadith from, and then we'll describe them in detail. So Sha'ba ibn Hajjaj, he said what kind of people we should not accept hadith from. He described four types of people. The one who narrates rejected hadith. In other words, the one who narrates hadith that the scholars are agreed upon are not correct. The liar. The one who makes many errors. And the one who insists on following mistakes even though it has been shown that they are mistakes.
What's the second one?
Liar. The last category are those people who, they're not willing to admit their mistakes. They make a mistake and it's shown to them that this is a mistake. Shown clearly what he narrated as a mistake. Yet he refuses to correct the mistake. That kind of person, we don't accept his hadith. Why? Because he will be saying things, and whether he's right or not, he will insist on what he's saying. He'll never admit that he was mistaken. I'm saying, I'm describing people whose hadith will not listen. Question, right?
The third one?
Yes. The one who makes many errors.
What's the test?
Fati, don't sit next to Jurayd anymore. He just bothers you. You cannot get anything done. The one who narrates rejected hadith. These categories include, for example, people who narrate hadith that the scholars, the great scholars of hadith, have never heard of. That is much more important. There's no source. This also includes people who are suspected of lying.
You mentioned only four.
No.
So what's the...
I'm saying that these are included underneath those categories.
Yeah. When you say that he has... سبب الراوي أو رفض الراوي سبب الحديث.
No, you reject the rawi. Talking about jah, jah or ta'dil. You reject the rawi because of the hadith that he is narrating, which all the scholars agree that these hadith are wrong. In other words, يعني we know that these are not correct, and he's narrating them, meaning that he is not valid. Because the people that he got, he claimed to get these hadith from, they're not narrating them.
يعني we just from other
sources. Yeah, remember we talked about that.
Check out. He is rejected, and though, and yet he is still
Imam Malik, for example, describes what kind of people not to take hadith from. You listen, Am Laziz, Nasr.
It's your mother.
It used to be a hole. I cannot go back to Algeria. We have it on tape. Imam Malik described four types of people. One is the incompetent or Safi. Okay? So don't take yani his hadith, even if the people narrate hadith from him. Number two, a person who lies while talking, and he while speaking in general, although he's never been accused of lying in narrating hadith. Or even if he's never been accused of lying in their hadith. A person who follows his own desires or ahwa and calls other people to his desires. What we call that nowadays?
Ahl al-shahawat,
what we call ahl al-shahawat nowadays? Bid'ah, people of bid'ah. Calling other people to it. And a person who is yani, very devoted, yani, worships a lot, yet he has no idea about yani, science of hadith. Yani, he is not academically, he's not yani, qualified to study on hadith. He may pray all night long, but when he hears something and repeats it, yani, he repeats it improperly.
أوهام الصالحين
عباد الصالحين لا يعرف طيب what we'll discuss seven categories. Some of them we'll not discuss now, we'll discuss now.
Even though
that's the point. That's the point. Yeah. That even, yeah, if someone fasts every day and prays all night, doesn't matter. And if he doesn't know how to pass on hadith properly, it doesn't matter. We cannot accept it. So, the categories we'll discuss here are people of bid'ah. Number one, ahl al-bid'ah. The people who revile or abuse the Sahaba, sub the Sahaba. People who are unknown. These are in general people who we're going to reject as narrators. We make such a for these people. These are the categories that we will discuss. They are pretty much the categories in general. Number three, people who are unknown. Unknown is ma'roof.
How can you feel that he's going
ma'roof? Read it on. The meaning of unknown is ma'roof.
Unknown in ma'im al-hadith, what does it mean?
We'll get to it. We'll discuss these things. Now I'm listing them, we'll discuss them. Number four are people who are liars. Number five are... Number four are liars. Liars. Okay. Number five are people who committed tadlis. Yani those worshippers who. And the qassas, the people who tell stories. We'll discuss them in the future. Huh? That's some kind of deception. Number six are people who are careless or make lots of mistakes. And number seven, those people who make, yani, who mix hadith together and lost their mind, yani, due to some reason. We'll discuss them. And I put them in the same category. Because I'm not going to discuss much.
We'll discuss it later. I'm just mentioning them first. It's like an introduction. You never read a book, you have an introduction, then you go on.
That doesn't give you time here.
Tough class.
Yeah.
So first of all, Ahlul Bid'ah. Okay, Ahlul Bid'ah. Let's just discuss this in general, okay? Forget about what the ulama said. Is there any reason to reject the hadith of Ahlul Bid'ah?
Because we fabricated anything.
What do you mean? You mean because someone's from Ahl al-Bid'ah means he fabricates hadith?
No, I mean is what you call this, the Yali Urq al-Hadith.
Scripture twist.
consistent with his
Too much of his Bid'ah. Okay. Yani, one thing we have to be careful about people of Bid'ah is that they might hear something. By the way, I've done this with Christians a lot. You read to them a specific verse in the Bible, one that they use all the time to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And you ask them to repeat the verse exactly as they heard it, and they'll always repeat it wrong, because they'll always add an extra word, implying that Jesus is the only Son of God. Then the remaining Christians, see, they have the belief, no matter how you read it to them, when you ask them to repeat it, they're going to repeat it wrong. People of Bid'ah are the same way. They have their belief when they hear the hadith, they may hear an authentic hadith, but in their mind, and it didn't click. Their mind immediately changed. There was a study done in the United States about 15 years ago. They showed a film. Okay, there's a group of white people in the room, about 40 white people. They showed a film of a mugging. You know mugging? Anyone here from New York? Okay, money?
Sarukha.
Where you're walking down the street, somebody comes and jumps you. Okay, money. So they showed a picture of a money, okay? In the picture, there's a black guy walking down the street, and a white guy comes with a knife. Okay? They stop the film. They asked the people in the crowd, 40 white people or so, who had the knife? Almost all of them said the black guy. Because in their mind they have already, no matter what they see, in their mind they already have something. So when it comes to the people of Bid'ah, we especially have to be careful when they narrate hadith that support their Bid'ah. What this means also, of course, is the ulama of hadith have to understand what their Bid'ah is. And the ulama of hadith has to know the different groups of bid'ah and have to understand what is the bid'ah to see when they narrate hadith how they are changing the hadith.
What about the other hadith that was related to their bid'ah?
Okay, what about hadith which has nothing to do with their bid'ah?
Yeah, you might accept.
Is there any reason necessary to reject?
Yes.
Why?
I'm not sure.
What do you mean for you? Yes, you're not sure.
You cannot be arrested somewhere and arrested somewhere else.
You can't.
What do you mean? I mean, we all have what's related to this bid'ah, he is not honest, right?
No, we're saying we don't accept it because we cannot be sure that he's narrating the problem.
In other words, we're doubting his honesty.
We're doubting his honesty in that field because he has some problem in that area. For example, those 40 white people in the class, or in that room, who said that the black guy has show him a football game, the score is 30-17, you ask them what was the score, they all say 30-17.
Yeah, but what I mean is, their honesty is in doubt or somewhere, I can't trust him, because honesty cannot be defined in honest here or unhonest.
Can't be.
I can't.
Okay, first of all, with respect to bid'ah, we have to, let's divide the people of bid'ah into different categories. There's one bid'ah, which is actually to believe that Ali is ilah. There are some types of bid'ah which lead the person not to kufr but fisq. Translation of fisq into Turkish.
No, I don't know that. I'm not familiar with that.
You know
fasiq,
the word
fasiq? Yeah, I'm not familiar with
fasiq. Any like someone who is an evildoer or something?
Yeah, I'm not.
You've heard my plan.
Between these people, this, we can also divide them further into two categories. One to the bid'ah, and the other one was not calling this bid'ah.
Within the first, right?
Yes, I said that. No, I said within this category.
This category.
So now, okay, how about the first category? We said, some time ago, that we cannot accept hadith from Kaaba, right? We gave reasons why. We have to mention them again. What does that imply for this case?
Or did we took the kefir?
Okay, and now we said that there is ijma' to reject the hadith of narrators who follow a bid'ah which is kufr.
Oh,
he said this is ijma'. Sayyid? Suyuti said that's not true. Ibn Hajar al Asqalani is the student of Ibn Hajar al Haythami. He said, and this is perhaps the best, there's a difference between kufr and kafir. And if someone could be doing something which is kufr, but he doesn't realize it, he doesn't know that it's wrong, he doesn't know that it's kufr. So he said that if someone denies, if one of the people of bid'ah denies something which is known through what they call ilm al-dhururi, and it's something that no Muslim could deny. For example, that the Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad is the final prophet. That five times the same prayer is obligatory in Muslim. This kind of stuff. If someone denies these things, then all of this hadith should be rejected. Then that narrator is rejected. Because there's no excuse for denying it. Fundamentally, the things that every, and even small kids, doesn't know them. I don't think. So he says those people, they are rejected completely. Those people, who are less than that, who, their bid'ah is actually a kufr, but, might be based on some ta'wil or something, which is not clear, not obvious to everyone. He said that's a separate category. We'll leave that category open for now.
Like my president?
Some of their beliefs is actually
kufr. Okay. Like what?
So, the lecture related to Mu'tazila. Okay, well now about this category. Why do they distinguish now between that bid'ah which is fisq, between those people who call to it and those who do not call to it? Why do they make that distinction?
Those who call for it will try to make
it sound bitter. Okay. And those who are calling for it, they are trying to make to put their bid'ah in a good way. That might include scripture twisting or changing hadith just a little bit. So in general, these people's hadith we have to be very careful about. The one who calls to that. What about the one who doesn't call to his bid'ah?
He has to be miscut.
Okay, it is more acceptable because we have no evidence that he might change things in order to support his bid'ah. Because he's not someone who's actually trying to bring someone to his bid'ah. Anyway.
What do you mean very careful? What? Because someone should be very careful.
I'll get to what I mean by that very
careful. Anyway. Isn't there any possibility that the pastor, the first not calling for, has been exposed to certain hadith from those people who's calling for first, and yet, you know what I mean?
Still we don't accept his hadith which supports his mother because of that possibility. Mm-hmm. He may have heard it from other people and he's just passing them on. Because then he should mention who he narrated from, and we know those people. But the question, when we talk about narrating hadith, the question is the question of adl or dhabt. Okay? With respect to these people, who are not calling to their bid'ah, we have no a priori.
Anyone know what a priori means?
We have no reason to believe from the beginning that he's not adl. So we may accept this hadith even though it's from Ahlul Bid'ah, as long as they are not supporting his bid'ah.
That's a long story to know what's for. Ahlul Bid'ah is called it, and then compare hadith with this
bid'ah.
No. كذلك جماعة كنا لا نعرف أنه عدل أو ضابط كيف نحفظ.
Different question. We'll get to that when we talk about Majhul.
This is what we are thinking in this course.
But this category, there is a question about this, we cannot be certain about his being adil. So in this category, we reject this hadith unless we prove that the person is adil.
How come?
Which one is it?
The meaning.
The one who is calling to the bid'ah. What we mean by that is that there's some bid'ah which leads someone, that we call the bid'ah kufr and we call this bid'ah fisq. But it doesn't mean that the person is kafir or fasq necessarily. Okay? For example, al-Nawasib, we talked about them before. Mawazif, who are anti the supporters of Ali. Very strongly against the supporters of Ali.
Did they say they are kafir?
No, not, they don't. Not quite, at least not all of them. Well, there's some bid'ah, which is, it is hard to say whether it is kufr or not. And in the early ulama, they were very careful, saying whether it is bid'ah or not. Kufr or not. So, what else? So in general, even with the people of bid'ah, the question boils down to this. Okay? Unless we know that that group of bid'ah makes it permissible to fabricate hadith in support of their bid'ah. In other words, if there's any group, like the Rafidah, and in many of them, they made Toba, they said, we used to get together and fabricate hadith, and then, this was our deen, we would distribute it to the people. And Imam Shafi'i said, you may take hadith from anyone except the Khatabiyya. Well, Khatabiyya are those Rafidah who said it's okay to fabricate hadith, in favor of. So if we know that that bid'ah
permits the fabrication of hadith, then we reject all of the narrative. Okay? But in general, the question is still a question of Abdullah. So just because the person is from Ahlul Bid'ah does not necessarily mean that his hadith will be rejected.
Okay. It can be recorded.
Yeah, it can be recorded, it can even be accepted in many cases.
It's supported by other people.
That some of them, and some of those people are, and taqa by themselves. Especially the early generation from the Tabi'in, there was many people from the group that they're called Shia at that time. We talked about the difference between Shia and Rafida. Okay? And these people from the Shia, they have small bid'ah. That small bid'ah is they believe that Ali was afdal al-sahaba, the best Sahaba.
That's not
bid'ah. That's bid'ah. Because the Jumhur al-Ulama, the Sahaba, they agreed, Abu Bakr, Ba'adin Umar, Ba'adin Uthman, Ba'adin Ali. That's why they chose them in that order as Khulafa. Okay? So this is a bid'ah. Okay? But those people who held that bid'ah, many of them were great scholars of hadith. And we cannot reject their hadith just because of that small bid'ah. Most of them in fact didn't even narrate hadith related to this stuff. If you just ask them, who's better, Ali or Abu Bakr, they'll say Ali is better, and they'll bring hadith which are well known in favor of Ali. That's like the hadith of
Ali as Ben Medina. No, no,
the Hadith of Khaybar. When the Prophet said, I will give the Hadith proving the status of Ali. So there are three Hadith which are well known and authentic. And it's not the case necessarily that they are saying hadith that the other ulama do not know.
But one of the before this.
But what I'm saying is that they are not necessarily bringing hadith that we don't know to support their bid'ah. We know the hadith. But they are maybe giving it more emphasis or interpreting it a little bit differently than everyone else.
Why do you call if someone believes that Ali is better than Abu Bakr, you call him bid'ah?
Because it is well known from the Sahaba, they agreed that the best one is Abu Bakr, Ba'adin Umar, Ba'adin Uthman, Ba'adin Ali. Even Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said the same thing.
He said what?
He said that the best Sahaba were Abu Bakr wa Umar.
He mentioned that, huh?
Hey, Abu Bakr thumma Umar. He said, we always said that the Prophet ﷺ came with Abu Bakr and Umar. The Prophet ﷺ did this and with Abu Bakr wa Umar.
So, if he says this, why he didn't make bay'ah for Abu Bakr?
He didn't make bay'ah to Abu Bakr.
After 6 months.
No, he made bay'ah to him originally and then he repeated it in 6 months. But this is the history for
What about Uthman and Ali?
What about Uthman and Ali?
Who's that?
The Jabur ulama, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say Uthman.
And Ali, did he mention that Uthman is better than him? He didn't mention, for sure.
This is someone whose hadith should not be accepted. You make statements like that.
Outside, they have other class.
They don't agree. Ali should agree.
No.
You can find reports from Ali talking about Uthman and Uthman's status. He accepted Uthman, he made bay'ah to Uthman, he was one of Uthman's advisors.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And he didn't mention the word better, he didn't mention it.
As I said, the question, again, even with the people of Bid'ah, the question is still, Adam or Bob. Well, this is why, for example, if you go to Sahih Bukhari,
record from Sahih Bukhari. Now, okay, if you go to Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, and you take the narrators from Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, you will find 16 from the Murji'a, 7 from the Nawasib, 26 from the Shia, 29 from the Qadiriyya, 1 from the Jahmiyyah, 2 from the Haruriyya, and 1 from the Waqfiyya. Haruriyya is a group of the Khawarij. لا 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 we're talking about these people I described, not the Rafida. The Shia, pro Ali.
Pro
Ali.
It's not
Rafida. Far Rafida. طيب
can you repeat from Shia
Bukhari from Al-Bukhari and Muslim
mm-hmm.
I think it's in Ahmed Shakir's book I think
that's
not who I quote here but anyway you'll find quickly 16 from Murji'a 7 from Nawasib 26 from the Shia 29 from Qadiriyya 1 from Jahmiyyah 2 from the Haruriyya and 1 from the Waqfiyya Waqfiyya yani those who say the Quran was neither created nor it wasn't created
كم
لهم
two
لا الحضرية
two
والوقفية
ما
كتبت will not be amplified like that. So any questions about أهل السدع any questions about so second category that I mentioned are those people who يعني make صبغ الصحابة يعني say any things that improper things about the Sahaba, abuse or revile the Sahaba. Among these people, we can divide them into three categories. Okay. The first category is يعني those people who يعني abuse them in such a way that they call most of them kuffar or fasiqin. يعني for example الرافضة in their book of hadith called أصول الكافي they say that after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم all of the Sahaba were apostates يعني مرتدين except مقداد وسلمان وأبو ذر لا that's another رواية but في أصول الكافي it mentions these three yeah that's the problem Ali is not included Fatima is not included. Hasan al-Hussein is not included. Yeah. Sometimes you have to think, even if you're from Ahl al-Bid'ah. Included among يعني, this group, يعني, people like al-Khomeini, who wrote in his book on Islamic government, he accused Abu Huraira of fabricating hadith, and he accused Samura ibn Jundub of fabricating hadith. Summer. This one we just named. But number two are those people يعني, who cursed the Sahaba. لعنة يعني make لعنة for them. Or swear at them. Okay. Among the يعني, the ulama are divided about these people. Some say this is يعني, kufr or ridda and some say it is not. Those, yeah, it is kabir for the other people. Those who say it is not ridda, they say this person should be flogged and imprisoned until he dies or repents from his sin.
And how is this related
to Hadith? We're dividing the, okay, the first group, and for sure we have to reject the Hadith. Because as I said, they're doing something which goes against something well known from the Quran, which is all the Sahaba Adl. And they're calling him Kafir and Fasit. And it goes against something well established. The second group, it will be something like this. That's a fisk. Yani for, yani, as I said, there's two opinions. One opinion says kufr, the other one says fisk. Those who say fisk said the person should be imprisoned and flogged. Okay? The third category, as the people who يعني, they say something about the Sahaba which is يعني, like a type of insult but not like la'na or something. It's like saying he was this Sahabi was stingy, butter, bakhil, or he was a coward. Okay. This is also a type of small. But it's not as great as the second category. And mostly this discussion is about one group, and that is the Rafida. They are the ones until now, and if you go to Iran, they still make stop the Sahaba. And for this reason, yani, their hadith should be rejected.
No, it's Iran.
Just giving an example. But any questions? The third group will be treated like these people. Type of bid'ah which is
so you mean you divide them also to call and not call them?
No, just bid'ah which is good yani in fact. And he should be asked to be repent.
To repent, that's one who made.
Yani from the third category. So, any questions about that? How much time do we have?
It's 12 o'clock now.
15
minutes.
Okay, 12:30 is maximum. Then we'll stop there, and we'll begin next time with the majhool, unknown.
Yeah, what's the matter? What's the matter, Chef?